This is the second part of our Astrofest 2007 special. In this part, Ian talked to Peter Wise, the managing director of Cape Newwise Technologies. I talked to Lillian, a Polish amateur astronomer. Bob Meisen, the coordinator of the BAA's campaign for dark skies. Robin Skadgel, the vice president of the Society for Popular Astronomy. Simon and Craig, two Jodcast listeners. And Andrew Newsom of Liverpool John Moores University.
Okay, this is Ian Morrison at Astrofest in London in February 2007. I've just come across Peter Wise. He's the managing director of a new company called Cape Newwise, which I suspect has some link with South Africa, which has produced an innovative new type of telescope that is currently being built in a wonderful technical centre in North Wales. What's special about your particular design of telescope? What makes it a bit different from all the others that we see around us? At Astrofest here, I met there probably about 100 different telescopes on show. What's special about yours?
Well, I made a 24-inch Dobsonian, and although it gave absolutely wonderful images, the disadvantage is climbing up a 12-foot ladder, and it's not very much fun on a cold winter's night when you can't see a perishing thing. There's nothing to grab hold of except the telescope when you start to fall down. And I decided that maybe there's got to be a better option. So I've got an optical design program and worked on making a much shorter version of the Newtonian telescope, which would be user-friendly and all the other things that we come to love in a telescope. So I made one that's about half the length of a normal Newtonian, but it also had a flat field and was also easy to make because all the surfaces, the optical surfaces, are flat or spherical. And it jolly well works.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, it's certainly about half the length, I think, of the Newtonians we see here, and that has a rather long tube for the focal ratio. Yours is about half the size, as you've just said, and the eyepiece, I think, comes to a very nice position to enable you to observe nice and easily. So you mentioned several sizes, 8 inches and 12, probably for the amateur market, but I gather you've got quite a large telescope. Is it Nottingham University? And maybe there's a chance of getting one of that sort of size at Cardiff. Tell me about that.
That's right. We made a 20-inch or 500mm to the initiated telescope for Nottingham Trent University. The order was placed around March last year, and we were able to deliver around October time, and it's now in use by students, and the university is extremely delighted with it. They reckon they got extremely good value for the whole project. For £150,000, they got a whole observatory, dome, and telescope, whereas normally for £150,000, they get a grey box that sits on the lab bench and looks pretty rubbish.
No, that's good. Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Peter, and I wish your company all the very best. It's nice. It's just down the road in Wales from us, and maybe we'll have one of your telescopes at Jodrell Bank sometime in the future.
Thank you very much, Ian. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and just let me know what size you want.
We'll see what we can do.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Liliana, and I come from Poland.
And why are you visiting European Astrofest?
I am a little interested in astronomy. Usually origin of our universe, more cosmology, and that's why I came to see how develop this knowledge, this science, this part of science.
And have you been here since Friday?
No, just only today. I can, yeah.
Are you going to some of the talks?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Well, have a good time.
Yeah, very good time, very nice, very interesting, very kind people.
Yeah. Thank you.
I'm Bob Meisen. I'm the coordinator of the British Astronomical Association's Campaign for Dark Skies.
So could you just tell us a little bit about the Campaign for Dark Skies? What does it involve?
Yeah, the campaign was founded in 1989 by a group of concerned astronomers who were a bit worried about the sort of rising tide of waste light in the sky, which has more or less taken away the stars from 90% of the UK population since about 1950. And the whole point of the campaign is not to switch people's lights off, obviously. We're not mad. It is simply to put light where it is needed, i.e. on the ground or on the building or or even on the radio telescope without shining it all over the night sky and into neighbouring premises where it causes a lot of problems.
Yeah, and it seems to be a growing problem over the years. It's getting worse and worse, as far as I see, anyway.
Well, I'm 60 years old. When I was a little boy in the East End of London, I saw plenty of stars. I go back there now to visit relatives. There are no stars, I mean no stars, in the sky from where I used to live. I learnt my stars in a little town in Shropshire called Newport when I was a teenager. Go back there now, there are very few stars in the sky. Nationwide problem, getting worse all the time.
So what practical things do the Campaign for Dark Skies do about this problem?
We talk to lighting manufacturers, we talk to environmental campaigners, and most importantly, we talk to local and central government. We have been instrumental in getting a small amount of legislation about light intrusion into windows, which is the Clean Neighbourhoods and Environment Act.
That was just the other year.
2005, yes. Unfortunately, it has ridiculous exclusions such as transport premises, so your neighbour is not allowed to shine 1,000 watts through your bedroom window all night, but your local bus station is. Loony or what?
And you just mentioned the 1,000 watt light bulbs. Now, I think I heard a statistic that the most powerful lighthouse in the UK is 500 watts?
The most powerful lighthouse in Britain is the Farne Islands. It's called the Longstone Light. It is 1,000 watts. And people are using half of this on their back walls. It doesn't frighten away burglars. It simply gives them plenty of light to sort out their tools at 3 o'clock in the morning when the police are fast asleep and so is everybody else.
I guess one slight good thing about light pollution is that it's easy to fix if we care about it. You can turn off your lights.
It is a problem that is easily solved. And it's not a question of turning off lights, it's a question of angling them where they are needed, although it cannot be denied that there are many, many unnecessary lights in this country. But that, of course, is a subject of judgment and debate. But the amount of light that is wasted in this country outside the premises to be illuminated by floodlighting buildings, etc., with inefficient lights is frightening, it really is.
Right, and you've also, in collaboration with Philips, I think it is, you've produced a dark sky map of the UK.
Yeah, the Philips Dark Skies map of the UK is a joint effort between Philips Maps Company and the Campaign for Dark Skies, and it shows the best places in the UK to go if you want to see stars. But of course, we can't produce a clear skies map because we live in a rather cloudy country and never quite predict where they're going to be. But certainly the Dark Skies map tells you where the best and worst lighting conditions are.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us. We'll put a link to your website on our show notes on our website as well.
You're very welcome. www.darkskies.org.
Thank you.
Right, Robin Scadgell, Society for Popular Astronomy. I'm the Vice President.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Society for Popular Astronomy? What does it do?
Right, the Society for Popular Astronomy is Britain's largest astronomical society. We've got over 3,000 members, and we've been going since 1953. We started out life as a junior astronomical society, but these days we've widened our appeal to cover absolutely everybody who's interested in astronomy and who's a beginner to astronomy. We've got several advisory sections. We've got a telescope advisor, we've got a photography advisor, somebody who will help out with GCSE coursework, that sort of thing. And also we've got our magazine Popular Astronomy, which comes out four times a year. We've got news circulars, which come out six times a year. And they give the sort of stuff that you don't normally get, which is all about observing and the things that people have actually seen in the sky. And that's something we're very proud of, actually. We get information out to people. In fact, we have email alerts for people as well who want to know what's going on. Comet McNaught, for example, when that came around, we only had a few days' notice about that one. We got out an email circular and people were able to go out into the sky, out into the street and observe it straight away.
Excellent. So if people want to join, how do they go about doing that?
Well, look at our website, www.popastro.com, and that will tell you. Our subscription rate is very low. It's only £15 a year, and you get enormous value from that. Also, in our website, there's a very good forum where people can ask questions about astronomy, so well worth looking at the website.
I must say, I've looked at the forum a few times myself.
Well, yes, it contains a lot of general information, and also people can ask questions there which they might be a bit embarrassed to ask elsewhere. So what you always want to know about astronomy, but we're afraid to ask.
Very good. Well, Robin, thank you very much for talking to us.
Welcome.
So, okay, we're very lucky. We've actually got some Jodcast listeners. They do exist. And we've clobbered them in a corner at Astrofest, next to Albert Einstein. So just tell us your names and where you're from.
My name's Simon. I'm from Andover, but I'm a member of the Basingstoke Astronomical Society.
My name's Craig. I'm from Bracknell.
Very good. And why are you here at Astrofest?
To meet you and to to appear on the Jodcast, obviously.
I'm sure you're not here for that.
To have a look around at some of the equipment. It's a good place to get together and meet some of the other astronomers as well.
Yep. Well, I've just bought my first telescope, so I'm looking for some extra bits and pieces.
Really? What have you bought?
I bought one of the NextStar 130 telescopes, recommended by Ian Morrison.
Yes, he did a review last year, didn't he, on that?
That's right, yeah. I saw it on his website, or on the website link, anyway.
So I'll blame him then.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm now nearly £300 poorer, but that is very good value.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There you are. Okay, we've caught up with Andrew Newsome again, because we missed something out last time. We forgot to talk about MAD. Can you tell us what MAD is?
MAD, yes, the Merseyside Astronomy Day, MAD 2 this year. It's a day we organise every year now at Spaceport, which is a new astronomy visitor centre on the banks of the Mersey. And the idea is we get some professional astronomers in to talk about what they're actually doing, so to talk about their research to people who don't necessarily already know about it.
So what sort of things will be covered this time?
Well, we've got anything from gamma-ray bursts. We've got a talk from Professor John Brown from Glasgow, the Astronomer Royal for Scotland. He's going to be talking about some observing of the sun. We've got a talk on stars from Maurizio Solaris from JMU. We've got a whole range. Another talk about giant telescopes from Susie Ramsey from Edinburgh. So the whole thing.
Very good. And you said that was at Spaceport?
It's at Spaceport, yes, which is in the Seacombe Ferry Terminal on the banks of the Mersey.
Okay, and do people have to book?
It's probably advisable to book because it sold out last year. And you can go along to the website to do that. So www.astro.livjm.ac.uk/mad.
We'll put a link to that in our show notes as well.
Splendid.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.